Janae, and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Pickup trucks, Ferraris, and steroid horses. What a Monday here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch us on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chinne Agwimike going to join us here at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, as she always does, because it is game week in the WNBA. And really, game week in two senses for Chinne Agwimike, who is getting ready for some regular season hoops with the Los Angeles Sparks, but also is getting ready for game day Thursday as 144, the ESPN Films collaboration with the WNBA, the documentary about the WNBA bubble and the experience there, comes out Thursday. And man, if you guys could see the work behind the screens, that behind the scenes that Chinne has been doing to make this thing go, she is going to, I don't know if she's in season would enjoy a cold beverage, but if she ever did, Thursday would be the day to do it. So we're excited to talk to her about that and what's leading up to the season. We're excited to dive into a lot of what's going on right now. We have liars everywhere in the world of sports. We have seen Bob Baffert out here on everyone's TV screens today talking about his horse, which we'll get to, from the Kentucky Derby that is under investigation right now after failing a drug test, which is apparently a thing that has happened more times than it should with Bob Baffert and his stable of horses, which are some of the best. We'll also get to Tim Tebow, Tebow Mania, making its way back into our lives slowly but surely. But before we get to that, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because, man, guys, this is now the point of the NBA season. We got about four games left in the regular season. We're starting to see what this is more than likely going to look like as we get closer and closer towards the postseason. And the Los Angeles Lakers have been the subject of a lot of this ire. They're sitting at the seventh seed right now. They're a game behind the Portland Trailblazers, who just beat them not too long ago to get into this point. And so we now have to ask a couple of questions about what we think this team not is, but what they can be based on what we've seen recently, because we can look at the standings and I can look and start to have a conversation about the play-in game with the Lakers that I feel better about than we did last week when we heard from Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, who on First Take said he's not sure the Lakers make it out of the play-in games. Well, then a funny thing happened. Anthony Davis did not rise to the occasion. He fell to the level of his training. And I'm wondering why any of us really doubted Anthony Davis in this spot, short of health. Because what we saw in the two-game stretch that included that Portland Trailblazers game was in that game against Portland, Anthony Davis putting up 36, 12, 5 assists and a block, albeit in a very closely contested losing effort. But then following it up last night, and this is where it really took off, 42 points, 12 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks, and 3 steals, becoming the first player in franchise history with that stat line, the Lakers franchise history with that stat line, in a win over the Suns. The Suns, who we know have been second and third in the West for most of the entire season, that a lot of people claim to have felt good about for a while, but that's a big win for the Lakers. My question, and I think there are two of them, are, one, why did we ever doubt Anthony Davis was capable of this? Because lest we not forget, this is what he had to do when he was with the Pelicans. Like, Anthony Davis having to go out there with a bunch of also-rans and putting up monster numbers just to keep that team anywhere close to afloat is the way that he's always lived. And he was kind and gracious talking about it after the game. Here was Anthony Davis in their post-game press conference talking about this team having to deal with injuries and the way that everybody stepped up.
I mean, they're having great games too. They're playing their off. You know, guys are making shots, making free throws, getting to the basket, making the right reads. So it's a collective effort. You know, our entire team is, you know, with the next man up approach every game. You know, Kuz is out. You know, West comes in, starts, and plays well both ends of the floor. Bennett comes in and makes some big threes. You know, THT first game back, played well. So everybody is contributing to the team's success.
Chinne Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., and that's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Anthony Davis is going to say all the right things because, again, he had to. Like, you listen to him talk about the approach having to play for something like the play-in potentially. And Anthony Davis says he's something to the effect of enjoying that different challenge. So we were one of the best teams in the league. We won the championship last year. This is a very different challenge. It's a lot different from what we heard from a guy like, I don't know, when you look out at the Golden State Warriors, All right, when you look at Draymond Green, who said he's not motivated by the play-in tournament. That's because in the NBA, Draymond's been eating caviar for the longest time. He didn't have to make it work with NBA ramen like Anthony Davis did for so many years. And so Anthony Davis, if you ask him to do that again, yeah, he's happy to oblige because they also know, and we've also heard them talk about, everyone on this team to a man. LeBron's doing great in his recovery from injury. They all seem pretty confident what he's going to be able to do when he comes back. So that brings up the second question is now, what should the Lakers be hoping for? What is the best case scenario for the Lakers? Because so many people express concerns about the play-in, and I've got fewer and fewer as we get toward that point. The Western Conference play-in right now looks something like this. The Lakers at the 7th seed, the Warriors at the 8th seed, and then Memphis and the San Antonio Spurs, 9 and 10 respectively. And remember, even if the Lakers lose that first game against Golden State in the play-in, they get another chance. They would play then the winner of that 9-10 matchup to still have an opportunity to go be the 8th seed in the overall postseason. That's a huge difference in looking at the situation. We have to remind people constantly with this play-in. It's not 7-10, 8-9. It's winner of 7-8 automatically goes, and then the loser of that game still has a chance to beat whoever wins that 9-10 game. But who should they want to face? I thought this was interesting from Jay Williams, our ESPN NBA analyst and co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will and Zubin, who said he thinks the Lakers should actually want to run it back with the team they just beat.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out early. And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
That's a big deal, saying Phoenix could essentially be this breeding ground for everything the Lakers are looking for. And you understand that to an extent. Like, you look at the matchups across the board. How do the Lakers win? The Lakers win with LeBron James being one of the all-time greatest distributors and Anthony Davis going completely ballistic. That was the playoff difference from last year with that basketball team, was Anthony Davis. LeBron James, I made this comment last year during the postseason, during the bubble, that if we were going to look at this like they were the Avengers, because everything comes back to the Avengers with me, why not? If LeBron James, Tony Stark leading this whole thing, masterminding the operation, you won last year, much like the Avengers always do, because you had the Hulk. You had Anthony Davis, who is a 7-foot unicorn, like Giannis, like so many of these other great bigs that we're seeing now in the league, but he was able to do it from the perimeter. He was able to take over in a number of those games, so much so that you had people like me asking the question, should we be considering him for finals MVP, should the Lakers win this? Now, I got summarily dismissed, but that was the kind of level Anthony Davis was playing at, and that would be the kind of matchup that certainly would work in their favor against the team like the Suns, who's going to be guard-driven, who's going to be living and dying by what happens with Devin Booker, what happens with Chris Paul in that backcourt. And so I think matchup-wise, he's not wrong there. They can survive even if they were to lose to a hot Steph Curry in that Golden State outfit that similarly is basically Steph Curry and right now, much like the Lakers have been Anthony Davis and at this point and are waiting to be LeBron and AD. But I think as we get closer and closer, the one thing, and I heard Max Kellerman bring this up earlier today on ESPN Radio that I thought made some sense, is you can actually spin this to a positive if you're the Lakers in getting more opportunities with the play-in to have to play those extra games, to say this is a team that needs to get some basketball under its legs as its stars get healthier, as you get the main parts back on court, and you've got parts that are different from last season, different from the postseason run that haven't had the benefit of playing with these guys. And in a year where we hear all about the lack of practice time, the lack of ability to get on court and scrimmage, don't those things become paramount as you're looking towards postseason success? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Who should the Lakers want to see in the upcoming postseason? Is it in fact the Suns? Should we be looking up top for anybody else? Because it seems like the matchup everyone is pointing to and circling that they shouldn't want is a Clippers team that just ragdolled them not too long ago. But you start hearing about all those injuries that Kawhi Leonard is apparently battling through right now. That has certainly been a team that has started to piece together some continuity. But man, has it come at the sacrifice and at the cost of one of their stars' health as you get to this premier type of year. 888-SAY-ESPN. But coming up next, we always hear about lies told on Twitter. We had plenty of lies told at the microphone over this weekend. Three contenders for lies that may join the annals of some of the greats in sports history. We'll try and contextualize one of the worst Halls of Fame you could ever be a part of next here. Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit has tested positive for an anti-inflammatory.
The last thing I want to do is do something that would jeopardize the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Apparently, they don't do horses. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. And in a segment that now, like, it feels like on a day where we have the green light go because of what Bob Baffert has said and done publicly. Bob Baffert, who is one of the premier trainers in the world of horse racing, comes out and says some of the things that we are going to play for you here about a horse who has failed a drug test. This has the chance to become a very elitist segment because I feel like horse racing can sometimes feel like that when we get under the hood too far. As long as we're all gambling and betting money on horse races, it feels normal. But the minute you go beyond that, it's a world where most people fall asleep. And so in an effort to do that, we're going to focus less on what's actually happened here. And if you missed it, Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit is headed to Baltimore for the Preakness Stakes. But Bob Baffert said Monday he won't attend the race because he doesn't want to be a distraction after the scrutiny that's followed. The Derby winner, on Monday, it was announced that he had failed a drug test Sunday. The results show that the horse had a steroid betamethasone in its system. Now, he has denied all wrongdoing, Bob Baffert, not the horse, and promised full transparency. But there have been strong statements from the folks at Churchill Downs. And as Medina Spirit now heads to try and go do the Triple Crown, we've got a lot to contend to on that front. But essentially, you got a horse accused of, you know, using performance-enhancing drugs in this race, which is serious from like a normal like animal cruelty standpoint and ways that we should be taking care of these animals. But it all gets really hard to stomach when Bob Baffert starts talking. Because if you haven't seen Bob Baffert, he looks exactly like, and I mean almost exactly like Will Ferrell's character from Eastbound and Down, where all you look at and see is that jet blonde hair that makes you automatically start to question anything that's going to come out of his mouth. But then you have this, and this gets me to what I want to hit. We had, including this instance with Bob Baffert, who you are going to hear on Fox from earlier today, talking about a horse steroid test and cancel culture in the same soundbite, in a way that sounds like a lie. He was not the only person this weekend that said something that sounds like a lie. And so we want to give you three possible entries for new additions to the Hall of Fame of things that we believe are not truthful. Because I don't want to call Bob Baffert a liar. I don't know Bob Baffert enough to say that or not. But these are things that don't sound like the truth. And so I want to play you all three. I want to play you two of the contenders. I'll read you the other one. But I want to start with our guy, Bob Baffert, who again is the trainer for the horse Medina Spirit, the Kentucky Derby winner, who is under investigation right now after a failed drug test. Here was Bob Baffert on Fox earlier today talking about cancel culture and his horse.
We followed the rules and went extra 4 days and still were in trouble. We did treat her. This horse is not treated with this. And so that's the part that's the scary part. And it makes me, as a trainer, is this the life I have to live from now on? We have to worry about, you win a race, you have to worry a week later. I've never had to worry about worrying about the test. We win a race, never had to worry about it. And so I don't know what is going on with the regulators. Things are going on, but I'm just a lost word for it.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So obviously I misspoke. That was from a press conference, but rest assured, you can see the clip all over the internet of him bringing up cancel culture. He also said, quote, "I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I know everybody is not out to get me, but there's definitely something wrong. Why is it happening to me? You know, there's problems in racing, but it's not Bob Baffert." That quote was from Bob Baffert. He also added, "He's a great horse. He doesn't deserve this. He ran a gallant race." Medina Spirit is Bob Baffert's fifth horse known to have failed a drug test in over the last year. You kind of stop getting the benefit of the doubt at that point. So I want to move to our second one here. Luka Doncic, who last time we saw him this weekend, was apparently getting a flagrant foul called on him for hitting Colin Sexton in their game against the Cavaliers. In the video, you can clearly see he was pushed by Sexton. He turns around, flails his hand backward in a way that was definitely meant to strike. Now, I won't say whether it was meant to strike him in the groin or not, but it was meant to strike. And Luka Doncic said, after I saw the video, I knew I hit him, but it wasn't nothing on purpose, which has big time for anyone that remembers the Chappelle Show sketch. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie Murphy's couch. Like, you know exactly what you did here, and yet we continue to deny. But the last one really gets interesting. Because if anyone saw over this weekend, we also had Francisco Lindor, the star player for the Mets, comes over, big contract this year, struggling so far through the course of the season, who appears to, during a game, I believe on Friday, go down into the tunnel, and there appears to be a heated altercation, or what people at least looked into as that. When Francisco Lindor stepped to the microphone after to talk about it, he didn't talk about any sort of beef with what had happened on the field. He didn't talk about any sort of argument. The story he came with was a story about a debate. Was it a rat or a raccoon inside Citi Field? Listen to this.
It was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because if we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who are you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
So there you have it, which, I mean, listen, for any of us that have been around the East Coast and spent any time in New York, some of these rats are huge. Some of them border on cat size or raccoon size. So I get that you could make that mistake. And I get that with Francisco Lindor's million-dollar smile, most people would be inclined to believe him. But you've got their GM, Zach Scott, coming out and saying that it was unfortunate that Lindor and Jeff McNeil attempted to dismiss their dust-up by arguing about which critter they spotted at Citi Field. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. It got us thinking about some of the, we'll call them false truths, fibs. If you want to call them outright lies, I'm not going to do that in this situation because I don't want to call these people liars because I think we have rules against that. But 888-729-3776, what are some of the greatest lies told in the history of sports? We've got a pretty solid list, but we want to hear from you. You can also tweet at Mike Golic Jr. with the best lies you've ever heard in sports. But coming up next, let's look, much to our producer's happiness, at the New York Knicks. What they've managed to accomplish so far, a marquee win. One of the biggest wins, Brian Windhorst said, in that franchise's recent history against the Clippers over this weekend. Would it all be null and void? Would it all be a failure if they don't win in the postseason? We'll get to that next after this word from 303 Products. Now, are you looking for professional-level protection for your car's paint, but without the cost you'd pay a professional detailer? New revolutionary 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating provides just that. 12 months of protection with a simple mode of application, and you can do it yourself in no time. It leaves your car's finish with insane levels of shine and depth, plus the water beating's crazy. Your car will never look better. It also helps to keep your car looking that way longer, too. The layer of protection helps repel dust, fights off water spotting, and does so by making the water shed quickly from the surface and lowering the surface temperature so that the water doesn't end up drying on the paint. It's also great to use on your car's glass, the wheels, the trim, all the above. And now it's available at Advanced Auto Parts and Pep Boys locations nationwide. Or you can learn more by visiting 303radio.com. Is the Knicks season a failure if they don't win a postseason series? Back after this, Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You heard it in the SportsCenter update. Great Doug Brown. Tim Tebow, appears to be heading back to the NFL as a tight end. And believe me, if you know one thing, if you are young enough to not live through Tebow Mania or don't remember it, you're going to get a crash course here really soon. The takes are going to go all over the place. Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And in about 10 minutes, we'll find the middle ground on this, because Tim Tebow is so larger than life for a lot of people as a sports personality that you kind of don't treat him like a person the way we need to. There's a human side of this from Tim Tebow that I respect, but there's also going to be the side of players currently in the NFL that I think we have to consider when Tim Tebow's name gets brought up like this. But before we get to that, let's head out to the Goodyear Hotline, because we're down the home stretch in the NBA season. And to join us and help us figure it out, David Jacoby, co-host of Jalen and Jacoby on our ESPN airwaves each and every day, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jacoby, there's a lot of places I want to go with you, but our show and our producer is home to a very big New York Knicks fan. And this entire Knicks season seems to have exceeded expectations, Jacoby. And I'm hearing a lot of people float it out now, and I'm curious for you. If they don't win a postseason series, does that nullify any of the good and the fun that's come out of this?
First of all, Mr. Golic, if they don't win a postseason game, it's still the greatest season in the last, like, I don't know, 15 years of New York basketball. Honestly, like, I'm guaranteed, almost guaranteed, 4 nights of sitting down on my couch and watching New York Knicks playoff basketball, and that is all that matters. They could get swept in the first round, which they won't, but they could get swept in the first round, and it would be the best season of New York basketball in a long time. And that includes the Nets going on to win the championship. It would still be lesser than the Knicks getting swept in the first round.
And I completely agree with you. I said this when we were talking off air before the show, that this has already exceeded so many expectations and set them up for the next step. Because, Jacoby, I remember when Brian Windhorst went on and said, you know, some player, some star in the NBA is going to force a trade to the Knicks in the next 12 to 18 months or whatever the time frame was. Do you believe with what we saw now that that's gone from just a kind of a hot take to a veritable certainty? Because it feels like the Knicks are going to be able to absolutely bring someone in with what they've put on the court already.
Well, you think about what they brought in this offseason, because there was a really good New York Post article about sort of what's going on behind the scenes with the World Wide West and Leon Rose, and Scott Perry and Tom Thibodeau. And they were going to go sort of like full tank. Let's develop the young guys. Let's call this season a development season. But Thibodeau and some others were a voice in the room saying, let's bring in Julius Randle. Let's bring in Reggie Bullock. And then later in the season, let's bring in Derrick Rose. Let's bring in some veteran players that play defense, that play hard, that know how to do it. And what they did is create a winning culture in New York City, which is going to be an interesting thing for free agents to consider. Like, there is no other arena. Ask anyone who's played in the NBA. There's no other arena like Madison Square Garden, and there's something that's really attractive about that to free agents.
Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to David Jacoby, co-host of Jalen Jacoby, with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Is there a star that sticks out to you as someone that would be a prime candidate for the Knicks to go after and who would also probably want just as much to be in New York?
Probably Tim Tebow. I heard you talking about him earlier. I mean, people were talking about tight end for the Jaguars, but I really feel like sort of like a wing slasher, like a 3-and-D wing, Tim Tebow would probably be exactly what the Knicks need to get to the next level.
You know what? Listen, he was already around. He knows the city well enough with his time in the Mets minor league. So this feels like a very natural transition. Jacoby, before we let you go, there's also the Lakers' current situation. Big win last night against the Suns. We know fresh off a close one against Portland. As you look at the rest of the Western Conference, their potential in the play-in, is there a team you think the Lakers, especially from the top half of the Western Conference, would match up better with, would more like to see coming out of this than, you know, one of the other teams?
Just remember what 2011 felt like. All right, like, transport yourself back to 2011, Mike. Like, think about what you were like, what your hair was like, what your life was like. LeBron James has been in the finals 9 out of 10 times since then. I'm not betting against LeBron James going to the finals. And it just seems like this year, with the injuries and with the Jazz and the Suns and the Clippers and the stories and the play-in game, that everyone's sort of discounting the Lakers, but there's just not another team that's better suited to be in the NBA Finals than the Los Angeles Lakers. And you have to look back. The only time that LeBron James wasn't in the Finals was when he was injured. He will not be injured in the playoffs. They're going to win the West. That's how I feel.
Oof, all right, there you go. Well, everyone, make sure you check out Jalen and Jacoby for more of that. Oh, Jacoby, I lied. Before we let you go, you guys do soft move or boss move on the all the time. I'm not sure if this qualifies, but I wanted to get your read on this because I'm not sure where it lands in that spectrum. But apparently Jeff Bezos, you know, leader of the Amazon and most of the free world, just bought a $500 million yacht. Is that too much? Have we gone too far now in yachting?
I feel like there's a $100 million yacht out there. It's kind of like wine. It's like if you get a $40 bottle of wine, it's great, but you don't need a $300 bottle of wine. You know, it's like the $40 bottle of wine and the $300 bottle of wine are pretty much the same. So I feel like the $500 million yacht is a soft move. But if you are Jeff Bezos, I mean, why not? Like, why not? You know?
That is true. I don't know if you're getting a lot of yacht above replacement, but it is one of those where I guess what else are you going to do?
Yap? We're called Yap. Yeah, not the Yap. The Yap score is not that high.
Exactly.
The yap is pretty low on the $100 million yacht.
Exactly. We're trying to get the yap numbers down as we head forward. Jacoby, we appreciate you, man. Always fun catching up.
You're the best.
David Jacoby, again, Jalen and Jacoby all over ESPN. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, we'll get to 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, your biggest lies in sport in honor of what we have heard from Bob Baffert, from Francisco Lindor, and so many others in the last 72 hours. But we'll also get to Tim Tebow, who may not be signing with the New York Knicks, but might be ending up back on an NFL roster. Why a lot of people are going to understandably look at this and have a problem, but the one name that probably doesn't apply to this discussion as much as we want it to. We'll get to that next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We will be whole in about 15 minutes. Janae Ogunwike going to join us post-practice as she gets ready for a busy, busy week in the W. Again, we said regular season action getting going, which really excited about to see Janae back out on the court. Also, 144, the documentary film about the WNBA bubble that Janae is an executive producer on, that ESPN Films has worked with the W on creating, comes out Thursday this week. And we've gotten a chance to see some of the clips of this. We've seen what's come out already. It is an incredible project. It is an incredible labor that Janae has been a part of. And it's one we've seen her working behind the scenes all for weeks now. So Thursday, we cannot express enough. You need to give this your time. You need to give this your eyeballs because you are going to learn a lot about what the women of the W have been doing, the efforts that they've been leading. And we're just really excited to see it. We're excited to see Chiney's hard work. So we'll get to talk more with her about that in about 15 minutes. We'll also get back into the NBA discussion that we had with David Jacoby, who said when LeBron James gets back this postseason, he believes the Lakers are winning the West. He thinks that the benefit of history, what we have seen from a healthy LeBron, is always at a championship level. So we want to get to plenty of that. But we also have this Tim Tebow thing to talk about here, as it looks like Tim Tebow, the Jacksonville Jaguars, are by all reports expected to sign him as a tight end. I'll tell you why this seems to be a pretty transparent publicity stunt. It's not something that I fault Tim Tebow for, but it's a reminder of a way that this system works. But before we get to that, let's get some lies told in the world of sports in honor of the, let's say, false truths, the things that don't smell right coming from Bob Baffert, Francisco Lindor, and others. Let's go to Brian in Tennessee. Brian, you're on Janae Ogunwike Jr. What is the biggest sports lie that you've remembered?
I remember the steroid scandal back in the Olympics with Ben Johnson and the Canadian track team.
You know what? The Olympics seems like a place that is
only one.
Yeah, no, Brian, we appreciate the call. The Olympics seems like a place that's especially ripe for this conversation because we know that not even just outside of the U.S., there have been plenty of doping scandals involved in the Olympics. It's a place where I think you're going to get a fair amount of this kind of public denial like that. Let's try James in Florida. James, you're on Janae Ogunwike Jr., biggest sports lie you remember.
Well, right on top of my head, Roger Clemens with the steroid injection, they had his DNA in the needle, and to this day, he denies that, you know, he ever
That, you know what? Outside of the Olympics, you're right. Major League Baseball seems like the other place. Like, I always think of Ryan Braun, like all of the steroid era players that sat there and finger wagged at Congress or had press conferences in the media. It seemed to be a lot of that. So 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Your biggest lies you remember in sports. We'll get to plenty of those, but I do want to spend some time with Tim Tebow and what this potentially means. Tim Tebow hasn't played football in 8 years. I think Field Yates tweeted out it would be something like 3,059 days since Tebow's last snap in the NFL. We know Tim Tebow, former Heisman Trophy winner, one of the all-time college football greats, one of the greatest players in a college uniform I've ever set my eyes on personally. The legacy he leaves behind at that level, we know it's gilded on a plaque down in Gainesville. We understand all of that. Tim Tebow's NFL career, as polarizing as it gets, Tebow mania was something that took the NFL by storm. He was a first-round pick that so many people thought didn't make any sense. He's got that notable playoff victory against the Steelers out in Denver, and no one who's on Tim Tebow's side of all this will let you forget that. I want to couch this at the beginning by saying, Tim Tebow has worked at the SEC Network for a while. He's someone we know well at this company. He's someone who, when we were on the morning show, we would have on a fair amount. When we did our show before the Florida-Georgia game down in Jacksonville, his hometown, where he's from, Tim Tebow came by and seems like an incredibly nice guy. I don't know him much beyond that, but I know he was a coworker of ours. And so I'm not going to sit up here and rip this summarily like he's a guy that none of us have ever met. Tim Tebow has my respect for the way that he has pursued the things that are his dreams. We saw this in the minor league stint with the New York Mets, and we're now seeing this, and apparently in a way that he pursued with football for a long time and is still trying to pursue in this effort. At the same time, I've always told you guys, I was a guy who was trying to make the back end of a roster in the NFL. When I spent 3 years coming out of college, I was an undrafted free agent with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I went to training camp twice with the New Orleans Saints. And in the meantime, I tried out in the Canadian Football League. I played in a small side startup league in the FXFL. Did about every way of trying to get onto that roster. And it ultimately didn't happen, and that is what it is. But that's always my perspective, is from guys coming from that spot, from guys that were undrafted, guys that have been trying to hang out on the back end of rosters. If I'm a guy that plays tight end that's in that position in the NFL right now, I'm furious. Because I don't necessarily think Tim Tebow makes the team in Jacksonville. I have a hard time believing. We used to say this all the time, because this was the argument for Tim, is would he not be better served making the switch to H-back? He is incredibly physically gifted. Like, if you've ever stood next to this guy, he is in phenomenal shape. Whether he's 32 or not, whatever the age is, Tim Tebow has always been a guy in peak physical condition. That's never been the issue with Tim, but a lot of people floated that out there, and he wanted to be a quarterback. And God love him for that. You have plenty of people that get told to switch positions and defiantly say, I'm going to stick with being a quarterback. And that's fine if that's the hill that you want to die on. I respect people who want to go out there and be what they believe they can do. But at the same time, now trying to make this happen with his former college coach in Urban Meyer, who was his coach in Florida, in Jacksonville, where he's from. Like, Tim Tebow is from there, went to high school down there, is a local hero for so many people down there. It just seems like something that's good pub, because again, if I'm a guy that's been trying to make it where tight end has been my vocation, I'm looking at this as an opportunity lost for someone that might realistically make the roster. Because again, it's hard to doubt Tim Tebow. I know everyone's going to say that, but realistically, at the NFL level, is a guy who played quarterback his entire life, who hasn't taken a snap in 8 years, really going to walk in and learn all the things you need to about being a tight end in the NFL to actually have a chance to make that team? I don't think so. Will he do all the things that everyone says? Will he be a great locker room presence? Will he be a great voice in the room for a young Jacksonville team that's trying to instill a new culture? All those things we hear under Urban Meyer. Absolutely. I'm not disputing any of that. But I'm saying in a football sense, do I think there's a real chance he makes this team? No. And so then the next step is, could there not have been somebody else at this point who's now losing out on that opportunity, that 8 years later, we're at the height of all this, 8 years later, it's one thing if it was one or two, but now is that not a different discussion? 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get to more of your biggest lies told in the history of sports coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, when healthy, is Anthony Davis the best big in the NBA? He put that on display last night. We'll get to it next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.